Oh Lord, we want to thank you that you've brought us here this morning. Father, we thank you for the fellowship here and for your people in this place. Father, we thank you for the young people that you've given us and for those, Father, who are pensioners and Father, you bring out to us as well. Father, we thank you that each one, Father, you've placed in here to minister to our own needs. Father, thank you we can encourage one another. Thank you that we can rebuke one another. And thank you, Father, that we can lift you up together. And Father, I pray that this morning in our worship, Father, we would worship you from our hearts. Father, that we have a God who we know. And so we worship because of the great and precious promises, because of the great and precious things that you do for us all the time. And Father, because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, lift our eyes up to see your love, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just hear from God's word as we come to worship together. May God be gracious to us. And may he bless us. May he make his face to shine upon us, that your ways might be known on the earth and your salvation be known among all the nations. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy. And for you rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. Then the land will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will bless us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear him. Our praises are linked to God's blessing. Our heart before God is linked to God being with us this morning. And so let's come and praise him together.
Father, we thank you that you're the King of creation, that you've made everything, that you are the Lord of all the earth. Father, we thank you that you're the Father of the fatherless, that you're the Father of the stranger, the Father of the widow. Lord, that you're our Father this morning. We do pray, Lord, that we might know each one of us, that you are our God, that you're our Father, that you've saved us. So, Father, we thank you that you sent your Son. We thank you that we can remember that just in the last few weeks. But we thank you, Lord, that he went from the cradle, lived that life of perfection, and died on the cross that we might know you. Oh, Father God, we do praise you that you now have exalted your Son, and he is reigning on high in heaven, in glory itself. Oh, Heavenly Father, we do pray that just as we've sung, that you might reign over every part of our life. Father, for our thoughts, oh Lord, how our thoughts stray from you. Lord, how our ways stray from you. We pray that our words, that our thoughts, that our actions would bring glory to your name. Father, as we worship you this morning, we pray that we might indeed worship you in spirit and in truth. Oh, Father, we might know the Spirit's liberty this morning as we come before you. And, oh, God, that he might bring glory to the risen Christ. Oh, Father, that Jesus might be truly exalted amongst us and that we might know him, Lord, here this morning. Oh, Father, for those of us who don't know you, we do pray, Lord, that you'd open our eyes to see what he's done. And for those of us who do know you, Lord, again, we pray that you'd open our eyes, that we might see that what he has done and how glorious he is. Father, we do pray for our church. We pray for, Lord, those who can't make it this morning, who are poorly. And we pray that you'd watch over them where they are. Father, we pray for our local community. And Father, we pray that they might too know of this great gospel that we got to have, Lord, for ourselves this morning. Oh, Father, we pray that we might faithfully hold out the word of truth. Lord, knowing it's the only way that people can come to real life and to real peace, Lord, with men and with God. Oh, Father God, so we just pray for Alwyn as he preaches this morning. We pray, Lord, that you would be exalted through his preaching. And we pray, Lord, that the word might be preached with clarity and that through it we might know you better. Father, we pray for the young people as they'll go out later. And we thank you for our young people. We thank you, Lord, for the teachers who are willing to give up time to lead them. And we pray, Lord, that just as you are evident here amongst us, we pray that you would be evident there too. That, Lord, Jesus and the gospel would be lifted high, O Father, because we know that there is no other way by which we might come to know our God. So, Father, we pray for your continued presence with us this morning. And we ask it in Jesus' name, with the forgiveness of our sins. Amen.
If you have your Bibles with you, if you turn with me to The second letter of Peter is 2 Peter and chapter 1. Chapter 1, we're going to read verse 1 to 11. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything that we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you might participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in this world caused by evil desires. And so for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he's nearsighted and blind. He's forgotten that he has been cleansed from all his past sins. Do take up your Bibles if you've got your Bibles with you. If you haven't, again, out in the foyer, you'll find Bibles to follow along with. And really, it's really good if we can follow along with God's Word together as we come. Now, we've in a new year, and it's so great to see not just new people among us this morning, people's faces I don't recognize, but also to have seen so many come among us during the year. And in fact, over the past 2 years, God has really blessed us as a fellowship, and we want to praise him for all that he has done. And maybe you're new and you're trying to get to know the fellowship. It's difficult, isn't it, when there's lots of people to get to know. Can I just encourage you all to shuffle your seating places so that you're sat by different people each week so that you get to know them. So if you're normally in the gallery, come downstairs. If you're normally downstairs, try the gallery. It's really uncomfortable. I don't know why you're up there. I only sat there the other week. but try downstairs. It's better. Hopefully during the year we'll transform this place to make it more comfortable for everybody as well. But so you can get to know one another. That's really part of it, isn't it, as well? But it's getting to know the fellowship and getting to know also what's going on in the fellowship, what it's about, what happens, and how you can get involved, and particularly the basis of faith, what we believe in the fellowship. So important to find out about these things. But I wonder, do you know what the core vision of the church is? What is it that we should be passionate about? Well, you'll have seen, we've got this image up here. You'll have seen this image occurs on most of our, virtually all of our literature. We have these four words: know, grow, love, and so. And that's our logo of the church, and it's there to tell us what's important and what we feel ought to be important within this fellowship. It's not taken away from our doctrinal basis of faith, but this is actually a vision. What do we want for the church? We long that everyone in the church, everyone who comes in to worship in this place, would come to know God as their, know Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, know God as their Father. We long that everyone would come to know him more and more as they walk with him every day, that they would grow in him and see him transform their lives, that our relationship with God is not a past relationship, but it's a living relationship as it ought to be. We long that we would grow deeper in love with the Lord. And the Bible tells us that as we grow deeper in love with the Lord, we also ought to be growing deeper in love with each other. That might be a strange concept to you as you look around, but that's what God's Word tells us, and that's what we want, a deeper love for one another, a care for one another in the fellowship, and also, of course, a real passion for the world that God longs to reach as we sow God's Word into the world. That's our vision, and there's one thing that's not said in there, because the end of it is all for his glory, all for his glory. This is our vision. And so although I spoke about this 2 years ago, I really think it's important to come back to. I'm not going to preach the same sermons, I hate to tell you. You can't just go away for 5 weeks and not have missed anything. It's going to be something different passages, different sermons. But hopefully the same challenge again. And even if you were sitting here 2 years ago, oh, I pray that God would just touch our hearts, challenge our minds, move our very being, that we would be those who just desire to know him, long to be transformed by him, filled with a passion and love for him and love for one another, a love for the lost, that we would be the kind of people that God says we ought to be in his word. You know, if we're not that, then we're not being his church in this place. So let's turn to our passage this morning, and there's three things I want you to see from this passage. And I don't worry so much about the things. Worry about, just ask God to speak to you. So we're going to bow our heads in prayer as we come to God's word. Oh Lord God, as we come to your word, Father, we pray that you would speak to us from it. Father, I pray that you would encourage us from it. Father, I pray that you would challenge us from it. But Father, I pray by your Spirit, Father, that these things would not be mere intellectual knowledge, not merely things we put away in the library of our mind. Oh, Father, but your word would be a transforming power in our hearts. By your Spirit, we pray. And Father, so we pray that you would come down upon us. Father, you would open our hearts. And Father, that the words that would be heard wouldn't be my words, but would be yours. Father, the challenge wouldn't be my challenge, but would be your challenge deep within. Father, you would shock us by your presence among us this morning in a way that we have never had before. Oh, Father, speak, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. First thing I want to see from God's word is that we have a God who we can know. We have a God that we can know. You know, there's something actually at the very start here is that this passage is actually speaking primarily, and in fact, all we're going to be talking about is speaking primarily to particular people. Have a look in the latter part of verse 1. We read at the first part of verse 1, a greeting, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. But then he goes on that he tells us who the letter is to. He says, this letter is to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. It's to those who through his righteousness have received a faith as precious as ours. It's not for everyone. You know, it's wonderful to see you all in the fellowship this morning. It's wonderful to be able to sing God's praise together. I want to really thank the band for leading us so well this morning. It's wonderful to be together in fellowship as well and to greet one another and to see again one another after Christmas when we've all been away and get together again. It's wonderful to do all those things. And it's lovely to have everyone here. Everyone is welcome into this fellowship. But you see, the church is actually, and what we're talking about this morning is primarily for those who have received this faith. It's for those who are Christians, those who are believers. And you know that you might get something out of this. I pray that God would really impact you from his word, every one of us. But if we don't have that faith, then you're not really going to get what this word says to you this morning. In Bath, I had some friends who joined a salsa class. Not salsa, kind of the stuff you put on food, but salsa, the dance you do. they joined a salsa class, and they were foolish enough to try and persuade Anne and I to join. Now, Anne, that would be quite good for Anne. She'd quite like that. For me, really isn't me. I just cannot see. Well, if you see how I move, I am the most clumsy person alive. And you know, there's one major problem. I've got two left feet, and it doesn't matter what I do. If anybody actually managed to persuade me ever to dance, then the first thing they will discover is they get very sore feet afterwards if they're anywhere near me at all. I've got no rhythm, really. I'm just not a dancer. And you see, I might have gone along. I might have even started to enjoy it, maybe. I doubt it, but maybe a bit. But I really wouldn't have got anything out of it, because actually I hate it. I'm useless at it. Actually, I want nothing to do with it whatsoever. I'm sorry for those of you who are dancers. That's your thing. It's not my thing. You know, the church is primarily for believers, for Christians. It's for those who have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, And, you know, we can come and we can gain various things from the fellowship together, but it's primarily for those who've received this faith as precious as ours. So I want to start by asking you this morning, are you a Christian? Now, I guess you might just reply to me straight away and say, yeah, of course I'm a Christian. I was brought up in church since I was kind of that high, or maybe even smaller. And of course I'm a Christian. Everybody's a Christian in this country, aren't they? But you see, that's not it. Have a look again what it says in this passage about who the passion, who are Christians. It says that those who are Christians are those who have received this faith through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. You're not a Christian because of what you do. You're a Christian because of the Lord Jesus Christ. You become a Christian through his righteousness. It's not about saying that I've come along to church all the time and I've done all these good things. It's actually about seeing our own unworthiness. Seeing how those good things don't matter at all. It's about seeing our sin. The Bible tells us that no one is righteous, no, not one. It's about seeing his purity, that the Father sent his Son, the just for the unjust, to lead us to God. The one who lived the perfect life for us. It's about looking at that cross and seeing his sacrifice there as the Holy One who dwelt among us and lived the perfect life was put upon the cross as a common criminal, even though he had done nothing wrong. And more than that, God took all our imperfection and placed it upon him and then punished him there for us. It's about coming before him and saying, Lord, yes, I know I'm the sinner. And Lord Jesus, you're my Savior. You died for me. Come and wash me. Come and cleanse me. Come and take me as your own. That's what being a Christian is about. A righteousness that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. And 2 years ago, I was talking to a lady, a very interesting conversation, and she told me that she tried everything. She listed all the things. I mean, not just tried, but actually she had been for years in these different groups, and she tried the New Age movement. She tried Buddhism. And she'd come from a church background beforehand. She'd tried that. She'd even tried the occult, and she spent years in each of these. And she said something really interesting. She said, none of them ever gave me any answers. They only provoked more questions. And then one day, she heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. She heard that the Lord Jesus Christ had come for her, that he had lived the perfect life, that she was so desperately trying all this time to get answers to and to live out, and she just realized she couldn't do, but Jesus had done it for her. She heard that Jesus had died in her place. And she said to me, she said, I wept when I heard it, because I realized that all this effort over all these years meant nothing. Because Jesus had done it all for her already. And she bowed her head and she wept before the Lord Jesus, and she threw herself on the Lord Jesus Christ, taking him as her Savior. And she told me that at that point, a peace just rushed into her heart that she'd never known before. Yeah, but more than that, she said, what really shocked her is she discovered that for the first time that this God who was so far off, who she'd been trying to reach desperately by so many means, was a God that she now knew personally. She said, I prayed and I knew I was talking to God. I read his word and I had him talking to me. I come to know there was a real relationship with God. I came to know him. And you know, at that point, she discovered a faith that, as this passage said, was precious to her. She had tried everything else and she got nothing. But now she had discovered a faith which was real. A God who was for her. A God who came and dwelt within her. A God who loved her. A faith as precious as that. And you know, she bubbled with this faith. because she knew how precious it was to her. Can I ask you this morning, do you know that faith for yourself? Have you come to that place? Is this passage for you? You see, part of our vision is that we know God. And it's lovely to have folk coming along week by week who are just coming in and joining with us. But you see, you can't really join with us unless you know God. But he is a God who can be known. The Lord Jesus Christ came and dwelt among us. And he said, I didn't come to call the righteous, those who think they're great enough by themselves. But I came to call sinners to repentance. He comes for those who are unworthy. And this is where it starts. It starts by coming to know a faith as precious as this. A God of glory who loves me so much that he sent his son to bleed and die for me. And today, right now, can dwell in our hearts and give us that living and loving and vital relationship with him. And you know, that's amazing. That's amazing. There's a God we can know. There's a God we can know. Do you know him? Do you know him? Secondly, in this passage, there's a generosity which we just can't ignore. You know, the wonderful thing about the Christian life, it's that this point of faith that we come to where we bow our knee before him and come to know him, it's just the start. It's not the end. It's just the beginning. It's the start. We come into a relationship with him, and there's so much more that we can learn about him. And God is so pleased to teach us more about him, which is why, again, so important. Because he wants to teach us more and more about him all the time. And you know, there's a generosity there. There's a generosity there. I once met the Queen. I wasn't invited to Buckingham Palace or anything like that. I happened to be working in the University of Bath, as many of you know. And the Queen was coming to Bath, and they reckoned the safest place she could come into Bath would be by helicopter into the University of Bath. And so the staff were told beforehand, a kind of select bunch of the staff who they thought probably wouldn't let down the university, I guess, were told beforehand so that there was at least some people there to greet her. The poor students weren't told anything about it. They heard about it afterwards and were rather peeved. But anyway, we decided that I would go down, you know, chance to meet the Queen, go down and meet the Queen. Thought I wouldn't go there when she flew in. I'd go there when she flies out at the end of the day. There'd probably be less people there. So anyway, I gathered my kids who were kind of, between them, yeah, that'd be great. Another time, others of them were kind of, why? Anyway, I gathered them along, thought, your opportunity. We'll go and meet the Queen. Anyway, we were standing there, and there was relatively few people there. She came, dropped off with a nice car, was walking to her nice helicopter. And amazingly, she decided to stop and talk to the people by the side of the road who were lined up there. And she stopped, and she talked to my children. I was more interested in what Prince Philip had to say because I was kind of waiting for something really atrocious, but he didn't. but the Queen stopped and she talked to me. And it's great, I talked to the Queen. So I could say I've met the Queen. But you know, I don't really know her. What's her favourite colour? Purple? Crimson? Red, white and blue? I don't know. I don't know. What's her favourite meal? Venison? Quail? Chicken? Big Mac? There's a McDonald's just opposite Windsor Castle. Very handy. I don't know. I don't know. What's her greatest desires? What are her ambitions? Not a clue. Not a clue. And what's worse is, I'm really peeved about this, after meeting me, she hasn't even given me an invite to come and meet her again. Can't believe that. She's not interested in getting to know me at all. Or me getting to know her. Oh, but you see, when you meet God, oh, it's so different. You see, see what it says in verse 2. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. He wants you to know him. And he wants you not just to know him, but to benefit from his grace more and more every day as you get to know him. And he wants you not just to know him, but to benefit from the peace that can be yours as you get to know him. And not just that, but in abundance. And we get this grace and peace all the more as we get to know more and more about him every single day. Let me just kind of illustrate how this works. When I came to Bath, I was we bought a flat, and just down the road we're living a couple who happened to go to the same church, and they came along that first day and they helped us to move into the flat. I got to know them a little bit, and they invited us out for meals with them, which is great. We got to know them a bit more. They were living very local to us. And as I got to talk with him, I discovered that he knew a fair bit about plumbing. That was good. You see, the people had moved out of the house. They were in financial difficulties, and they'd taken every single tap from the flat out. Just turned the water off, no taps, nothing there at all. And what was I going to do? I was only 24, never plumbed in my life before. Didn't realize how easy it actually was. But I knew somebody who knew about plumbing. And so he came on and helped me with my plumbing. Brilliant, absolutely brilliant. I got to know him a bit better. We moved house by this time to another house. I discovered that he knew something about structural matters. In fact, he was a structural engineer. And the garage in front of the house was falling down. It needed a new beam in it. So I got him to have a look at it. He looked at the beam. He specced the kind of beam we needed. We got the right beam in. It helped me put it up. Agro-prop the roof of the garage as we put this thing up. And so we put a new beam in because I got to know him. Got to know him a bit better. He's a really useful guy, actually. I should give you his name and number afterwards, shouldn't I? Discovered he knew about insurance and the house. And so fortunately, we were in there, got broken into. And I really didn't know what we could claim for or what we couldn't claim for. And he came around and he helped me fill in the forms and all sorted. Really useful person. But you see, meeting him at the first, I wouldn't have known that. But as I got to know him, I got to know the benefits of knowing him. And you know, knowing him meant I benefited from his goodness, didn't I? But I benefited also because of the peace of mind it gave me from knowing him. And you know, that's nothing to coming to know God. That's nothing to coming to know God better, to know his grace, all of God's undeserved goodness given to me. His goodness when I don't deserve it. When I foolishly trip up and fail. And when accusation rushes in. But you see, I've come to know him. I've come to Romans 8. And I've discovered that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so I know that in Christ Jesus that I'm forgiven. And I'm still accepted. And so I can turn to him and I can seek his forgiveness. And his love rushes in to accept me again. Just because I've come to know more of him. Oh, and his peace. All of God's strength when I feel most unable. When I face terrible difficulty. I face horrendous illness or terrible worries over my children. But you know, as you get to know him and you read his word, you hear that he's the God of all comfort. And you grasp onto that. And you discover that he's the sovereign protector. And that even though we see difficult things in our lives, yet at the end of it, he works things out tremendously well. And so we learn to trust in him. And we take him at his word when he tells us to trust in him and to lean not on our own understanding. Because we've got to know him better. And you know, the longer we go through our life, the more we get to know him. The more grace and the more peace we understand. Because we're in relationship with him. That's what living the Christian life is all about. It was lovely. I don't know if Margaret is out this morning. It was lovely, Margaret. You had a cancer operation earlier in the year, didn't you? Just a few months ago. And just before the cancer operation, Margaret really just came to know the Lord relatively recently, a couple of years ago. But just rung me up and then said, "Oh, Alwyn, I know such peace. Peace I wouldn't have known before." That is coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. That is getting to know him all the more. And you know, we have a generous God. It's throughout the Bible. God is so generous. And so it says, "Grace and peace be yours in abundance." It means it's multiplied to us. And all the way through the Bible, we see God's, we see God's generous nature. It says in Exodus chapter 34, when God comes and reveals himself to Moses, he declares his own glory. And he says this, the Lord, the compassionate, the generous God, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands. In Lamentations, when Jeremiah is having a difficult time, he remembers that, and God speaks to him and says, because of his great love, we're not consumed, because his compassions, they never fail. They're new every morning. Someone tell me what the next bit is. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. We have got a God who is great in mercy and kindness and love and peace and compassion. And he longs that we know him so that we can know these things for ourselves. You know, in Revelation, there's a picture of Jesus standing at the door of our lives and knocking. This is not the door of non-Christians' lives. This is the door of Christians' lives. Those who haven't bothered to come to know him. And he's saying there's so much more to know. And unlike the queen who can't even be bothered inviting me back, Jesus invites me back. He wants me to know him. I stand at the door and knock. Just open the door and I'll come in and I'll dine with you. And he's got this banquet spread for us, you know, but we can be so often like the kind of young kids at the sweet shop window. We've got our nose pressed against the window and we could just go inside and get some. Oh, we need to know him. We need to know him. There's a generosity that we can't ignore. No wonder Paul, understanding these things, said, I want to know him. I want to know him. Is that the cry of your heart? That must be the cry of each of God's people who are serious in their relationship with him, who understand all that we can have in Christ. I want to know him. That's why Adrian said was so important, so vital to get to know God from his words. A God we can know, a generosity we can't ignore, a means that we must use. Thirdly, a means that we must use. You know, talking about this generosity reminds me that weddings in Northern Ireland, I never had the privilege of having a wedding in Northern Ireland. My family being English and marrying a Welsh girl. But weddings in Northern Ireland were not quite like our weddings. You see, so often it was the case that when people, you put together a wedding list, don't you? And you put in it tea towels and kind of things which are not too expensive unless you're very ambitious. But in Northern Ireland, in some of these weddings, what people do is they give a list of the rooms of the house. And you see, what you do is you say, I will take the bedroom or the kitchen or whatever. And basically, you furnish the room. I should ask Andrew, did you experience that? No. Okay. It's not that common, but I've seen it. And it's amazing. But wouldn't it be bizarre if you had people who just were so generous like that as to give you the house, everything that you need? You see, the reason that people did this, only relatives you understand, but the reason they did that was to make sure that you were set up. There was a house you could move into. You had everything that you needed to start your married life together. But it would be foolish, wouldn't it, if as a couple you stood there and went, oh, that's all very nice, but we want to do it for ourselves. And so you went around collecting secondhand furniture and you chucked out all the new stuff that was in your house and you lived on secondhand furniture. It would be just silly, wouldn't it? It'd be silly, it'd be crazy. You know, God wants great things from our lives. Have a look at the end of verse 4. See what God wants from our lives. So through these, he's given us these great and precious promises so that, this is his word, by the way, so that through them, you may participate in the divine nature and escape corruption in this world caused by your evil desires. Do you get what he wants? This is an outrageous, outrageous ambition for you. That he would take foolish and sinful and failing and unworthy people like you and me. That he would cleanse us and enable us to stand against the corruption of this world, that we can stand against sin and say, no, I don't want anything to do with that. I want to live a life for you and for your glory. And, but just get this, that we could participate in the wonder of the holiness of God. That we can become like him in some little way that we can shine his glory out. He's got wonderful, enormous, amazing ambition for us. And I look at myself and I think, well, how on earth can you think like that about me? Is that where you are as well? How can you think I look at my life, I look at my failings. How can you think that I can possibly be like that? But that's what God's word tells us he wants us to be. He tells us we're chosen before the foundation of time. We're chosen to be presented holy one day in his presence, to his glory and to his honor. And God is at work in each of our lives to do exactly that. And you know, when I was in Bath once, I saw a stone being taken from a stone quarry, which is near our house in Bath. And it was an enormous stone being loaded on the back of a lorry. I talked to the yard manager and said, what's that for? He said, it's going to a sculptor. Well, actually, I say stone, you kind of think of some nice, neat block of rectangle of stone. It wasn't like that. It was a mess, actually. It was just a huge rock had been taken out of the side of the hill. But you see, the sculptor had looked at it and gone, I want that one. Because he had, in his mind, what he wanted to do to make that rock into a wonderful, beautiful statue that would stand in the center of Bath. And God looks at your life, and although you might say, well, what can you possibly do with me? He looks at you because he's chosen you to be holy. He's chosen you to do his work in you. He's chosen you that you might know him so that he can do his work in you. God has great ambitions for you. And like those weddings in Northern Ireland, he has provided everything that you need. Have a look in verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him. You know, his gift to us is amazing. It's complete. He has given us. It's already done. So we suddenly face that threat of redundancy. We don't have to scramble around thinking, well, how can I possibly have the strength to face this awful circumstance in my life? Because he's already given us all we need for life and godliness. We face that horrendous, unexpected bereavement. And we look to years of loneliness or sorrow ahead. And we think, how can I possibly endure it? And yet God has already given us all that we need for life and godliness. The devil comes in and he bombards us with sudden and overwhelming temptations. We think, how can I possibly stand for God? But he's already given us all we need for life and godliness. And it's stated as a fact. Something that we can know for ourselves. It's complete. It's comprehensive. He's given us everything we need. Not merely the things that we think we need, but the things that God, knowing us far better than we know ourselves, know that we need. So if you're a mother here this morning, God knows the needs you have in your family situation to live for him. If you're a plumber here this morning, God knows the needs you have as a plumber for him. If you're a pensioner here this morning, God knows the needs you have as a pensioner for him. And it's sufficient for life and for God. It's not ethereal. It's not about some kind of super life that we can attain if we somehow meditate enough and get away from this world. It's rooted in the real world. It's about the here and now. He has given us everything we need to live here and now. For the difficulties you will face as you go home this lunchtime. For the troubles you'll come across as you go to work on Monday. For the worries you have when you open that bank statement. For every aspect of your life here, he's given us everything we need for life and godliness. The only thing is, it's conditional. You see, it's through the knowledge of him who called us. It's by getting to know him. We can only know this goodness by getting to know him. It's a knowledge of him. Not a set of facts we accumulate. Not a library of things we know about him. But it's the reality of a living, breathing relationship every day with Jesus. So in those difficult times, when we send those arrow prayers up and we seek his help, for those struggles when we turn to his word and he surprises us by having a passage, we shouldn't be surprised, by the way, given he knows everything about us, but we have a passage which is just for us in every part of our life. As we get to know him, he's given us everything we need for life and godliness. You know, the means is right here. The means is right here. Not myself, but his spirit in me, applying his word to my life. He's given us his word. He's put his spirit within. Can I ask you, do you have a passion to know him? Do you have a passion to know him? Oh, if we're going to live our lives as we ought for him, then we need to long to know him and know him more. This is fundamental. Look down to verse 8. If you possess these qualities, and this is the things that God works in our lives through knowledge of him, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, we read your word and we see that you give us everything that we need for life and godliness. And Father, we praise you for your amazing generosity. Father, we praise you for your infinite love, so high and wide, so deep, that we can never reach the end of it. Father, we praise you for your amazing patience. Oh, Father, we pray that you would lead us in the way everlasting, that we might know you. And Father, so enable us this year to walk well with you. Father, thrill us with yourself, we pray. And Father, in this fellowship, in each one of us, Father, may you give us a deep love and knowledge of you, that every time we meet, we might be just filled and overwhelmed with all that you have taught us of yourself and all that you will do among us. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May the peoples praise you. May all your people praise you. Then the land will yield its harvest. And God, our God, will bless us. God will bless us. And all the ends of the earth will fear him. Father, we praise you. Father, we bow before you. And Father, we pray that you would work in our hearts, that we might long to know you and rejoice in God our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.